Let's take a trip down memory lane.
You're toxic, I'm slipping under.
And see what we find.
I just thought it was sentimental value to me.
I'm Jared Hall from Entertainment Weekly, and here's what to watch on Monday, May 3rd. We're counting down today's top three must-see picks from TV and movies. But first, your entertainment headlines. After addressing and shooting down rumors last week that he'll be the next Superman, now Michael B. Jordan reveals there's another upcoming movie that audiences should not expect to see him in, Black Panther 2. In an interview on the Jess Cagle Show, he was asked on a scale of 1 to 10 the likelihood of his return as Killmonger. His answer, quote, "I'm going to go with a solid 2. I didn't want to go 0. Never say never. I can't predict the future." And Hollywood and fans are mourning the death of actress Olympia Dukakis, who died Saturday. Among Dukakis's many roles were Working Girl, Mr. Holland's Opus, and Steel Magnolias, where she starred opposite Sally Field, Julia Roberts, Dolly Parton, Shirley MacLaine, and Daryl Hannah, and Moonstruck, for which she won the Best Supporting Actress Oscar. For more on those stories, plus other news, reviews, interviews, and more, head over to EW.com. All right, let's get on the road. The road to lives, that is, with our number three pick, The Voice. Tonight's episode is a special 10th anniversary edition of the usual Road to Lives installment, looking back not just at the journeys of the season's remaining artists, but the best moments from The Voice's 10-year history so far. The coaches will reflect on the past decade and their time with the show, along with highlights from the past 19 seasons. Here's a clip.
This show has changed my life because I get to meet people I would have never met otherwise and hear their stories and their ambitions. There's nothing better than that.
It's nice when you find people that work in your industry that you can really relate to and enjoy being around, and I've definitely found that.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming.
We've now made it a tradition, Chrissy and I, to invite the coaches over for the season finale to have a little dinner to celebrate the end of the year. We all really enjoy each other's company and respect each other.
Everyone here is like an extended family, and that's a nice thing to have.
Indeed it is. By the way, the special will also feature some never-before-seen footage and, most importantly, this season's coach performance. We're guessing it will be an emotional one. That all begins at 8 on NBC tonight. All right, folks, it's that point of the podcast, that time of the day when we normally turn to celebrities or EW staff for them to tell you what they are watching. But we're changing it up a bit today to tell you about another new podcast here that EW has just launched. And for that, I am bringing in the wonderful, the always fantastic, who always has great recommendations, Derek Lawrence. Hey, Derek, how's it going?
I'm doing great. Anytime I get to talk to you, J-Rock, it's great.
Well, I'm happy to have you here. I do love our conversations about all things pop culture. And right now, today, we're specifically talking about something that I hear you talk about a lot. All of us at EW know you love this. People on social media know you love this. So I'm so happy that we were finally able to make this work. And by we, I mean all of you who put in so much hard work into it. It's the new season of our Binge podcast, all about the Fast and Furious movies. It is EW's Binge, the Fast Saga. Tell everyone about it.
Well, Jared, me and you, we go way back, right? We started within a few weeks of each other at EW.
Yeah.
Going on five plus years now. So we're very good friends in addition to colleagues. And I don't know, if someone asked you, like, tell me one thing about Derek, like just sum up Derek. I don't know. It'd probably be what? Fast and Furious or Hitch, right? Like those would be the two.
I was going to say Fast and Furious or Will Smith. That's all.
Exactly. They just suck me back in. So yeah, this has been a dream project of mine. I have a document somewhere on my computer of like 4 years ago. I think I was an intern and I was like, oh, maybe one day you think they let me have a Fast and Furious podcast? And that day's here. We got the whole family and they've all been incredible.
What I've already listened to from the first episode, which is already available, it's the one, the only, Vin Diesel.
You had to start it. You got to start it with Vin, right?
You have to start with him.
That was the conversations. I think even he was kind of like on his end. He's like, oh no, should I do 8? Like instead, because like that'll be like really the last one setting it up. And I was like, no. And I think other people were telling me, like, no, you got to be the hammer that starts it. Like that's how you get people going. Like if I just had like, I don't know. Actually, I was going to joke if I just had Ja Rule on the first one. I'm not sure that would get the buzz going. But actually, I don't know. It might. I'd be excited for that one. So, but yeah, we got, you know, Vin, Michelle Rodriguez, Ludacris, Tyrese, John Cena. I mean, we got the whole family, like I said. So, and everyone's been so good. Like, I've kind of been blown away by how great these conversations have been so far.
What's been like a shocking story or moment, anecdote that one of them have told you?
I mean, the most shocking moment might have been, I wasn't the one most shocked. We were talking to Ludacris for Too Fast, Too Furious. He said that Fast 5 is his favorite. And I said, I was like, oh, that's not controversial. Fast 5 is everyone's favorite. But I said, I was like, honestly, Ludacris, I was like, I think that Fast 5 might be the best action film of all time. And literally, all he said, his react, he was stunned. When you see the video, he's stunned. And all he says is, he's like, oh, shit. Like, he was just like, he couldn't believe it. And I was like, I said it, Luda, it's true. And he eventually came around. He started thinking about it. He was like, at first, he didn't really believe me. But then as he started talking about Fast 5, he's like, actually, you might be right. So that was pretty incredible. And then, you know, not to spoil, but we talked to Justin Lin. I just got done talking to Justin Lin, actually, for the fourth film. And he was pretty resistant, actually. You know, he had directed Tokyo Drift, and they wanted him to do the fourth one. He's kind of like, no, I want to go back to indies. You know, I don't think this is what I want to do next. And then he said him, his wife, and Sung Kang, who plays Han in the films, were driving up. I think they were going to San Francisco. They were driving up the 5. And they stopped at an Arby's in middle of nowhere. And he said... All of a sudden, all these teenagers were like, Han, Han, like yelling at Sung Kang. Like they were like, and he's like, oh my God. And this is, they'd only done Tokyo Drift. Like, so Han now has been in like 6 movies and we're calling for justice for Han and he's back in F9. But like there was just Tokyo Drift. And Justin Lin was kind of blown away by, you know, like seeing that out in the wild, you know, how much, you know, a character like that had connected. And then he's like, he said literally he got back on the, they got back on the highway. And I think he wasn't driving. At least I hope he wasn't. I think then he called up Universal. I was like, all right, I'm in. So I was like, oh, I was like, we have Arby's and some random teenagers on the 5 to thank for Fast 5 and everything else that's come since.
Right. So Arby's brings the meats and they bring the Fast and Furious fans together.
Exactly. I might go, I'm not really an Arby's fan, but like I might, after just hearing that story, I might have to get Arby's just to thank them somehow.
Oh, beef and cheddar sounds great right now. Okay. In addition to all of this, in the June issue of EW is an oral history of the very first movie. Tell everyone about that as well and what they can expect there.
Yeah, the oral history was so much fun. You know, again, we got everybody, which has been incredible. So we got, you know, Vin, Michelle, Jordana, even reached back into David Ayer, who has become like a famous filmmaker in his own right. Back in 2001, he wrote Training Day, and then he also co-wrote Fast and Furious. Like, what a year for him. And so we got him, Neil Moritz, the producer behind it. But the real MVP of the oral history, and I could not have expected this, is the late Paul Walker. Because obviously, you know, he passed away in 2013, so obviously I didn't have the chance to speak to him. But our colleague Darren Franich interviewed Paul in 2013 for EW's Fast 6 cover. And Darren's like, wait a minute. He's like, I have all these quotes about the first movie from Paul that I've never used. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, you have to send me these. And he sends me not only the transcription of it, but also the audio.
Oh, wow.
Just some amazing stuff. Like he's like as honest as can be. He admits there wasn't even a script when I signed on. I just was like, oh, what? I get to look cool, drive cars and make $1 million. Like, let's do it. Like, he's like, that's all it was to me. I was like 25 years old. Like I said, him and Darren, I guess, are the co-MVPs just because for Darren having those. And it felt so, obviously there would have been something missing without him in there.
Yeah.
So like that just, the turn of events where he ends up being such a big presence in my story, like is what drove it home, you know, pun intended.
All right, folks, you can check out that oral history of the very first movie in the pages of EW and, of course, on EW.com. And you can check out EW's Binge, The Fast Saga on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Thanks a lot, Derek.
Thank you, sir.
Now let's keep this show on the road for today's number 2 pick, Antiques Roadshow. Believe it or not, the beloved PBS series still has new ground to cover after nearly 25 years on the air. Tonight brings the first ever Antiques Roadshow celebrity episode, the first of 4 new specials with notable guests sharing items they've inherited, gifted, and collected over the years. Tonight's episode features Jay Leno, Law & Order star Essipaitha Merkerson, author Jason Reynolds, pro golfer Dottie Pepper, and Olympic figure skater Nancy Kerrigan, who you can hear in this clip discussing that famous Vera Wang dress she wore at the 1992 Olympics.
What makes this really exciting is obviously it got a lot of attention at the time. It's also kind of credited for ushering in a new kind of fashion couture into figure skating.
This Very was much. A big deal to not have seams on the shoulder. Like that was, for some reason, they made such a huge deal of that because the structure was more difficult, I guess.
That's right. It's not only sports memorabilia, it's fashion history. It's probably one of the most famous figure skating outfits, if not the most famous figure skating outfit in the world. So it's pretty good. If I were to estimate it in an auction, I'd probably estimate it somewhere in the $20,000 to $30,000 range.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And if I were to insure it, I wouldn't insure it for anything less than $50,000. Nancy, this is a museum piece, just as a piece of fashion.
Wow.
And history.
Wow, those figures are enough to impress even a figure skater. Antiques Roadshow Celebrity Edition airs tonight on PBS. Check your local listings for more information. It's trivia time. Speaking of Nancy Kerrigan, the figure skater hosted Saturday Night Live for the first and only time in March 1994. Who was the musical guest on her episode? Aretha Franklin, Snoop Dogg, or Salt and Peppa? Stick around for the answer and our number one pick. What to Watch will be right back.
Knowing the more about gel coat.
When the fourth round would...
Don't you call in the...
Don't touch that dial. That's right, we're still calling it a dial here because it's Emmy season on The Awardist. With the dazzling Oscar season behind us, we are now turning our attention to smaller screens to track which shows are headed to the podium and which shows stopped us in our tracks. Join me, Jared Hall, Entertainment Weekly's executive editor, as well as EW's TV-obsessed staffers every Thursday starting April 4th as we share our opinionated hot takes and insight into the Emmys race. The Awardist will get behind the scenes with the creators and stars themselves during in-depth, can't-miss interviews. Follow the long road to the Emmys with The Awardist podcast Thursday starting April 4th on your favorite podcast platform, and be sure to check out more Emmys coverage at EW.com/awardist. Welcome back to EW's What to Watch. This week in entertainment history, on March 6th, 2004, Friends was there for us one last time as the NBC sitcom aired its series finale. More than 52 million viewers tuned in for the final episode, making it the most watched TV episode of the 2000s and the number 5 most watched series finale in history, behind MASH, Cheers, The Fugitive, and Seinfeld. Unlike many a beloved show, Friends has and likely will remain unrebooted, but the original six cast members will reunite on screen for the first time later this year in a highly anticipated reunion special for HBO Max. One last stop, folks. Let's head to Texas for our number one pick, 911 Lone Star. Now, this week's episode of the First Responder Drama is a true family affair. It was written by John Owen Lowe, son of the show star Rob Lowe, and directed by Rob's brother Chad. So, fittingly, the episode centers on Rob's Owen, who's forced to take some time off following an operation. He's not one to relax with a good book, though. Owen soon finds himself following emergency calls on a fire department app and winds up in pursuit of a serial arsonist. The problem is, not everyone believes there is an arsonist, and concerns start to grow over Owen's mental well-being. Here's Lowe speaking to EW's Ruth Kinnane about how it felt to bring his son and brother on board for the episode.
All of the things that had to line up and all of the sort of work that had to go into it to, for all three of us to kind of get to the place where it could line up and happen, kind of extraordinary and totally a blessing. I just am so glad that this is something that we all three got to experience.
Who doesn't love Take Your Family to Work Day, after all? Elsewhere this week, Marjan questions her identity and motives after a rescue ends in disaster, while TK and Carlos entertain Carlos's parents for dinner, but forget the limes for the margaritas. Honestly, we can't decide who's in the worst spot this week. The action begins tonight at 9 on Fox. And now the answer to today's trivia question. Who was the musical guest when Nancy Kerrigan hosted SNL in March 1994? Aretha Franklin, Snoop Dogg, or Salt and Pepper? You better think about this one. The answer is Aretha. Snoop and Salt and Pepper were also musical guests that season, alongside hosts Helen Hunt and Patrick Stewart, respectively. That is our show for today. We'll have more news and must-see picks for you tomorrow, so be sure to follow or subscribe to What to Watch so you don't miss our daily recommendations, more of which can be found at EW.com. I am Senior TV Editor Jared Hall. You can find us on Twitter at EW and at Jared Hall. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great day. What to Watch is written by Tyler Aquilina, edited and produced by Joshua Heller, produced and hosted by Jared Hall, and executive produced by Shayna Naomi Crockmall and Carly Usden.